Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to Talking Cars, and today we're going to be talking Defender, because believe it or not, we are on our third new Defender. Isn't that right, Tommy?
Yes, we have had quite the track record with the 2020 Land Rover Defender, and in this video we are going to talk about our experience with our Defender.
In this podcast, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm so used to saying video. In this podcast, we are going to talk about our experience with the new Defender. But if you're watching it on YouTube, you can also see what we're talking about in real time.
Yep.
We're going to do a build and price, talk about the different options available on the Defender, and where we're going to go from here.
That's coming up right now. Sit back and relax, or keep driving if you're driving. TFL Talking Cars is on the air, the world's most popular car podcast. Okay, maybe not yet, but we're working on it. All right, Tommy, I said our third Defender, and I meant our third new Defender because we're waiting for our third new Defender. But before we tell you how we burned through two Defenders, because that's what happened basically, let's go back, I don't know, 4 or 5 months this summer when the Defender was, the hottest, newest, coolest off-roader, and we decided to purchase one because we wanted to test it and do a long-term test on it.
Well, I think we placed our order, back in June. Does that sound right?
It sounds, I forget, it's been such a long, 2020, it could be June, it could be July, it was this summer.
No, I'm quite sure it was June, and yeah, basically we wanted to be pretty early on to the Defender bandwagons. We wanted to see what it was like off-road, but in order to do that, we had to order the right one, because the Defender is a very expensive, very luxurious vehicle, and it's easy to get into a model for $80,000 or $85,000. It's not easy to get into one for $50,000 or $55,000.
Yeah, we came up with an editorial plan, which was to create this video series called The Hell and Back. And the idea was we would drive a Defender from here in Colorado to Moab, take it on Hell's Revenge, which is an iconic off-road trail in Moab, and then drive it back, get it to Hell and Back. And some would argue that that's been our experience, and we'll get into that. But that was the plan. Look, the Defender has been, well, I think the crucible for the DNA of the Land Rover brand, right? It's when you think about what the Land Rover stands for, right? It stands for a luxurious off-roader. It's just a little bit younger than a Jeep Wrangler, right? It basically came out of that tradition of the Jeeps being in Europe. And for a long time, the Defender was not available in the U.S. It actually only came here for, 2 years or something in the 90s?
I think it was 3 years.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, like 94 through, I believe, 97. But keep in mind that back in those days, the Defender was not a luxurious vehicle. It was a proper...
It was a tractor.
It was a short wheelbase, solid axle, off-road beast, basically.
Yeah, but over time, it's developed into this vehicle that, has conquered Africa and then has become something that is more than just, a tractor, which is the way it started out, right?
I mean, I would argue that Land Rover has evolved far past where the Defender has been historically. So the Defender, even the last one sold in Europe in like 2015, 2016, were still very agricultural. But the brand kind of became focused on tackling tough terrain, but with swaths of leather and air suspension.
So also off-road luxury.
Yeah, but the Defender was always the off-road DNA of the brand. It had almost no luxury in it. So when Land Rover released the new one, they followed their new route of incorporating luxury into what is, you know, their heritage. And that's kind of what they were going for with the new Defender.
Anyway, we wanted to prove that it was off-road worthy, that it was rugged, that it was square-jawed, all that good stuff. And we're good at doing that here because we've got the Rocky Mountains at our footsteps, at your doorstep. The idea was to buy one that had everything you need and nothing that you don't need. And the configurator actually lets you do that pretty easily, right? So why don't we talk about how you can configure a Defender?
Well, just like the old model, there are still two configurations. There's the 90, which is the short wheelbase two-door model, and then there is the 110, which is the long wheelbase four-door model. We bought the 110 because the 90 wasn't available.
Yeah, it's not coming out till 2021.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S. at least.
It's going to be a wait until we can realistically get our hands on that one. Plus, the new Defender is, you know, not as much of a rock crawler as the old one. And it's built primarily more, at least we think, for crossing big stretches of land off-road. So if you're going to be doing what is now called overlanding, you do want the extra space and the longer wheelbase and the air suspension. And that all is incorporated into the four-door Defender. So it starts at about $50,000. Typically, the ones you see in the lot will be upwards of $70,000 or $75,000. But we custom ordered one specifically to meet all of our needs. So it was white. You wanted white for some reason.
Well, white was the basic color that you didn't have to pay any extra money for. Remember, the whole idea was everything you need and nothing you don't. So we went with the white vehicle with the white Steelies because they come standard.
Yeah, it was just a base Defender. So there's a lot of trims: Defender, Defender S, Defender SE, Defender HSE, Defender X. This was not even the S.
This was just a Defender.
Total, as we call it, bean can. It didn't have the premium LED lights. It didn't have the upgraded wheels. So you can get 18-inch five-spoke wheels, or you can go to 19s or 20s, or kind of the sky's the limit there. We didn't even get the contrasting roof because that was an extra cost. But we did go for, on the inside, the six-seater configuration.
Yeah, because we thought that was utilitarian and cool, right? So instead of having a console in the middle, there's a seat that kind of folds down, and you can fold it up and have somebody sit in it. But when you get that, because the seat is so tall, you lose the ability to look out your rearview mirror, and so then automatically you get the camera, the rear-facing camera, right, that turns into a camera and a video feed when you look into the mirror. And you had to get that. That came as part of
that. Yeah, it was like a package deal kind of thing.
And then we didn't get any of, like, the sunroof, heated seats, basic. We didn't even have, like, electric seats, right? These were just basic.
I think they were called the eight-way seats.
Eight-way seats, yeah. No lumbar. And the coolest thing about it was we didn't have digital instrumentation, right? They were still standard instruments in the cluster.
If you step up to the S, that's when you get the full digital screens.
But so it was really basic.
Let me clarify this. We didn't even have fog lights.
No,
but
no fog lights.
The thing is, and this is where it's pretty astounding, it was still a $55,000 vehicle.
Well, that's because we got the locking rear diff.
Yeah, so if we dive into the options here, if you're watching on YouTube, we got the Advanced Off-Road Capability Package, which gives you a separate terrain mode, basically an auto mode. It also gives you off-road cruise control, as I like to call it, but advanced all-terrain progress control. And then we also got the what is it called? I want to get the name right. It's the electronic active differential.
And here's the important part. In the UK, you've got, or in Europe, you've got a lot of different power plant options. In America, we have two. Right, so we don't get the diesel, which, by the way, might be coming, but it's not here. So we don't get the diesel options. We only get the Ingenium four-cylinder turbo and the six-cylinder turbo. So those are the only two options. The base engine is the four-cylinder, and when you're off-roading, you don't need a lot of power. The two-liter puts out, and this is going to be important as the story develops, so just a little foreshadowing, puts out 300 horsepower, which isn't a lot out of a two-liter, especially when you're, you know, at, let's say, 2 miles above sea level. Right, the Defender is heavy, and to have it move that much weight out of a little 2-liter turbo, that's a lot of compression that you're putting through that engine, we figure.
I kind of think that 300 horsepower out of a 2-liter is insane.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of power to squeeze out of a small displacement.
We're thinking if there's any other vehicle that weighs as much that has as small of a displacement engine, and the only one we could come up with was the XC90, right?
So I strongly believe...
The Super Turbo.
I strongly believe that 300 horsepower is, like, way more than you ever need in a vehicle like this.
Especially off-road.
Yeah, the horsepower was not the issue. I think, like you said, the issue is the fact that it's 300 horsepower from a really small engine in terms of the liter capacity.
And this decision becomes, I think, crucial to why we're on our third Defender as we tell the story. So anyway, we got the base engine. We got everything you need, nothing you don't to go off-road.
Well, look at this, though. I mean, I'm on the configurator.
Yeah.
If you look at the Defender, starting $50,500 for the four-cylinder, to jump up to the straight six, base MSRP, $62,000. It's a $12,000 difference if you want to jump up to the six-cylinder. And you get a bunch of different things with the six-cylinder, like they make you get bigger wheels.
Right.
Because you can't fit the cool Steelies under it.
Yeah, we wanted the Steelies, too, so you can't. With the Steelies, you get smaller brakes with the smaller engine, so you could put Steelies on it.
But we really wanted to keep the price down.
Yeah, we did.
Because it's not realistic. First of all, $55,000 is still not priced down. But it's not realistic to buy a $70,000, $75,000 off-roader. Like, that's just not going to happen in the real world.
We wanted to compare it to a Wrangler and a 4Runner, and both of those are in the $50,000 range.
Potentially.
Not the 4Runner. The Wrangler certainly can be.
Yeah, it can be. So anyway, we ordered this vehicle specifically in June. And then we had to wait because they're built in, I think, Slovakia. Is that right?
Yeah, they're built in Slovakia. It's a brand new plant. They just built it. And ironically, the one thing we didn't get, the option, which you think we get, are the off-road tires. And that's because even the most off-road tires that you can get on a Defender from the factory aren't really that off-roady. We want, like KO2s.
KM3s, something like that.
Something like that. Not you know, just kind of more rugged, basic kind of street tires that have a little bit bigger. You know, we wanted serious off-road tires because we were going to take it into some serious off-road.
So we placed the order in June, and we didn't really hear anything for a number of months. So it was kind of radio silence. We knew that we had the order in the system, but we really had no idea about delivery date. They were suspecting October is what we were told back in the summer. And it turns out they were actually spot on. So it turned up at the beginning of October to our dealership here in Broomfield, Colorado.
Yep. We had it sent to a local dealer, which is close to us. And we were super excited, you know. We went and actually saw it before they even called us because, dealerships here are closed on Sunday, and we were driving by the dealership because it's on the way to the airport. And I saw a white Defender there. I'm like, I wonder if that's ours with white Steelies. And sure enough, it was. So, you know, we were super excited. We went to pick it up. We cut them a check for $55,000 plus tax. And right away we did a video because they had a Defender X comparing like the cheapest to the most expensive. Remember that?
It was an $85,000 rig. It was the one they had on the lot. And there are a ton of differences. I mean, everything from fog lights to the the instrument cluster was different. That one had all sorts of crazy options in the back with the trunk. I mean, there were air compressors optional as well. I priced one out, and I think the highest I could get it was just over $100,000 was the most expensive Defender.
We actually had tried to get, I think it's called the Adventure Package on ours, but it was back-ordered.
Explorer Package.
Explorer.
So that was the snorkel, the roof rack.
Yeah.
I think the box on the side, maybe the ladder was part of the Explorer.
So we ordered that because we figured that's a very off-roady package. When the vehicle arrived, and keep in mind we ordered this not through the dealer but through JLR because of this podcast and because of our YouTube channel. You know, we're automotive journalists, so we have access to corporate. So we ordered it through JLR.
We didn't get a discount, though. We paid just like anyone else would pay. I mean, we didn't pay over sticker, but we certainly...
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah,
there was no discount.
There was no discount on the vehicle.
I think there may have been a $1,000 discount.
But I think that was a rebate
was
on
a
all
rebate.
Defenders.
Yeah. But there was no like special...
No, they weren't like, well, could you...
But they did put our order in quickly, so it helped.
That's true.
Anyway, and then the other special treatment we got is we got a call saying, hey, the thing's at the port, but all this stuff you want for the package is backordered. We said, you know, forget about it. We'll just take the vehicle as is because at this point, you know, we want to start doing videos. Because, look, in our business, being one of the first to do the Defender review off-road is important because it's a competitive business. And after a while, when people do them, then people move on to other vehicles. So we did this first video, and then immediately the next day we took it up Webster Pass.
Yeah, it's pretty mild. So, brand new vehicle. We weren't going to push it to the limit day two. We just wanted to do a cool video showing some of the Colorado scenery. Webster Pass is a trail that kind of winds its way up through the Rocky Mountains to, I think, 11 or 12,000 feet above sea level. Nothing too insane. You know, I don't think we ever bottomed out the vehicle. We never got it stuck.
That video is on TFL Off-Road. And the other reason we took it off-road immediately is, well, because in the winter we get tons of snow. It's the Colorado Rockies, and once it snows, all the off-roading closes for the whole winter. Basically, it gets too deep and too steep and too dangerous to go off-road.
And the vehicle performed great off-road.
Yeah.
I mean, it had no issues.
Until.
It didn't struggle. I mean, at no point off-road did we Did we have any issues? Then we drove. Hang on, I'm going way basic here, Dad. Right. We drove it all the way up to the top of the mountain,
yeah,
which was over 12,000 feet above sea level. We turned around, drove it way back, switched backs, back to the little river crossing, brought it back onto the pavement, drove it down the pavement for, I think, 3 or 4 miles, and then we got the check engine light.
Yeah, right in the parking lot of the Keystone Ski Area, we got the check engine light. I think we had gone and gotten a pizza or something, right? It was a late lunch. And then we're like, oh, that's not good. And so, you know, we're like, oh, wow, 167 miles is what it had. And we drove it straight back to the dealership the next day, I believe.
Yep.
Which is a Friday.
And it didn't have any difficulty driving the 80-some miles back to the dealer. So it didn't stumble. It didn't hesitate. It just had this error code.
But when we brought it here to our offices before we took it to the dealership, we did run a scan tool on it because we have those here. And what did the tool say?
It was showing a misfire in, I think, cylinders 2 and 3. So it was it was showing a misfire in cylinders 2 and 3, but that's pretty much all we could get out of our basic scan tool. We don't have the same capability that a Land Rover facility has. So we drove it to the dealership, which is, you know, 15 miles down the road.
No, it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, dropped it off with them.
Yeah.
And said, you know, please take a look at this.
Yeah, so they took it. They said, we fixed it. Come pick it up. So we were out of town. I think that was like Monday. They called us. They said it was fixed. So Andre went and picked it up on either Monday or Tuesday. He got it back to the offices, and he was backing it up, and he noticed that the backup camera wasn't working.
And the fix for the check engine light was a PCM update. It was a software update.
Software patch, yeah.
Yeah, for the computer.
And the cool thing about the Defender is it's got this really cool camera system where it gives you not only a 360-degree view of the vehicle, but you can actually see through the hood, and you can see as if you were like standing next to the vehicle or behind it. And so it's really the next kind of level of bird's eye view because you can spin the vehicle around. It almost looks like a movie when you're watching it. And so it's a really cool feature. That didn't work. I just said, I think the message was like,
Camera's not available.
Camera's not available.
And that was literally when Andre got back to the office from picking up for the dealer. Yeah. So he turned back around and drove right back to the dealer and said, hey, you know, just picked up this car for the check engine light fix. Now the cameras aren't working. Do you mind taking a look at it?
And that was the last time we saw it.
Yeah, it was.
That was the last time we drove it.
That was, I think, a month and a half ago.
That was about 6 weeks ago, beginning of October.
So initially, the issue that was causing that camera problem was a module that was backordered. So they had to wait for the module to come in.
Yep.
And while they were waiting for the module to come in, the check engine light came back on. And they were actually eventually able to replace that module, get all the cameras working. But that check engine light was a killer because it was still showing misfire codes. Basically, they were saying it was, quote, operating outside of its parameters.
And I have to say, JLR was wonderful. They gave us updates every day, you know, either from the dealership or from corporate. They called me, you know, every afternoon, and it became this kind of running joke where the guy would call me and be like, yep, still broken. Yep, still broken.
Keep in mind, so at this point, it had left the local dealership.
Yeah, they told me that they got a hold of a JLR engineer who came in and was going to actually try to diagnose the problem, who actually got in touch with the engineers back in the UK. And so they took it to a JLR facility in Denver away from the dealership where they were going to try to figure out, you know, why it kept throwing this check engine light.
Right. And that was a long process. So I think that's what's taken the majority of the time.
That took like a month.
It did. And they looked at they looked at pretty much everything related to the engine, everything related to ignition, spark plugs, coils.
What they told me, and I, you know, at this point now I'm just repeating what I was told by both the dealership and the PR team at JLR, and that is, you know, they went through it and they did the typical things that you would do to figure out what's wrong with an engine. So first, of course, you find out if it's getting fuel right. Then you find out if it's getting the right amount of air. Then you find out if it's getting spark. And then you look into compression. I mean, that's really what an internal combustion engine needs.
And they said all that was operating properly.
And it was still throwing a
yeah, I mean, and the funny thing, too, is, like, typically, the great thing about modern vehicles is that they have these diagnostic tools. So there's so many sensors that, unlike an old vehicle where you have to go through, you know, you have to mechanically go through every component on the engine to figure out what's going on. The idea with the new system is you just plug in a dongle into the vehicle and it'll be like, oh, you know, it needs an O2 sensor, or oh, there's an issue with the charging system. But apparently on our Defender, it was just saying misfire, right? It was just saying.
Well, they said, eventually they said that they couldn't diagnose it, and that it was working. This is, once again, I don't know. You know, I didn't see it. I wasn't there with the engineer or the mechanics. But what I was told with the vehicle was that it was operating outside of its normal operating parameters, whatever that means.
Which is an awesome way of saying that something has gone wrong with it.
And that there's something that's wrong deep down in the engine.
I like this comment, and I think I'm going to use this too, but someone said that they're going to use that to describe 2020. You know,
it's operating outside of its set parameters. Yeah, yeah. So something deep in the engine. That's, you know, and if you're wondering what that is, I don't know. And they wanted to stress to me that they could certainly fix it. It was just going to be a matter of time. And then, you know, they said we'll give you three. We'll do whatever you want, basically. So we had three choices at that moment, right? First, they suggested that if we want, they'll get us a new engine.
Well, that's what they said it would come down to, is replacing the 2-liter turbo in the vehicle. So what they said is they could have and this was back, you know, earlier this month.
Yeah.
They could have an engine at port by the middle of November.
Because it would have to come from Europe.
Yep, and then it would take a couple of weeks to get it
through customs and all that.
Yeah, and then they could probably have it here stateside sometime around November 30th.
Well, or maybe, you know, installed by November 30th. Anyway, it didn't matter. Look, when you buy a new car, you want that factory fresh seal, right? And so the idea of a dealership learning how to install an entire new engine, I'm sure that the dealership could do it, but it just didn't fill me with glee, right? That's why you're buying a new car, right? You don't want a second engine in the thing. And that was kind of right out, even though I did appreciate the offer. The other option we could have had is we could have gotten our money back. They would have bought the vehicle back. And a lot of people in the comments for videos are saying you should have lemon lawed it. And the lemon law here is it has to be in the dealer for how long? It's like 30 days, I think.
Yeah.
And at that point it was.
30 days.
But it wouldn't have gotten to that. Right. They weren't arguing about the fact that this was not a fix. Right. They were like, hey, we want to make sure you understand we can fix this, but, you know, because this has been such a painful process, we'll be happy to give you your money back. Or the third option was to get a different car. And, you know, we're not like typical Range Rover buyers, right? We don't buy this because we're going to drive it to work and have it be our car. We buy it because we review it. And we have a whole fleet of cars here, so it's our job to review cars. But because we have a whole fleet of cars, we don't depend on it, right? We can use other vehicles. And since it is our job, like I said, to review cars, we wanted to review it. This was still one of the most exciting, one of the most highly anticipated new vehicles of the year. And so we said, you know, let's replace it. And they sent us a choice of two different ones.
They did, yeah. And they were both four cylinders, both four doors, spec'd totally differently than ours. So, I mean, we could have gone through the process of ordering a brand new one and waiting for it for them to build another one exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
But that would have been a matter of months.
Well, that would have been another 3 or 4 months before we gotten it. And yep. At that point, the Bronco was going to be out, and, you know, people would have moved on. And so a lot of the comments in the YouTube videos were like, well, you should have, you know, had them build you the spec you wanted. And by that point, the video series would have been dead, right? I mean, you got to strike.
Just, yeah, there's not as much interest.
There's not as much interest. And you guys will have moved on to the Jeep 392 or the Ford Bronco Sport or the Ford Bronco or the Rivian. You know, there's a lot of other vehicles that are coming down the pike. So we said no. And the difference between the two was one was white, one was blue. They didn't have the locking differential.
I don't think they had any of the optional off-road equipment. So all Defenders have Terrain Response, all Defenders have a low range and four-wheel drive and that kind of stuff. And they actually all have air suspension in the U.S. as well, the 110s. But it didn't have the active locking diff, it didn't have the Terrain Response too, but we're like, that's okay.
We'll just make it work.
And they were like $56,000 and $57,000.
So basically, instead of the off-road stuff, they had like the luxury stuff.
Well, they had like heated seats and heated steering wheel and alloy wheels and
And then one was white and one was blue, and we decided to go with the blue one because it was here in Denver. For a simple reason, is that we wanted to draw a clear and concise delineation between the one that was delivered first and broken to the new one. So I didn't want people mistaking. And somehow thinking that somehow the one that we ordered originally was the same one that we actually replaced it with. That's why I went with the blue one.
If you're watching on YouTube, I will show you what that one looked like. So it was a Defender 110. Look at the trims here. So there's S, S, E, X, you know, the like. It was an S.
Yeah, and they delivered it to our dealership. And actually, Tommy and I, this was like 2 weeks ago, we're driving once again to a program to the airport. And we drove by on a Sunday to go out to the airport. And we saw a blue one sitting at the airport, at the dealership, and I'm like, hey, I wonder if that's ours. And so we pulled in, and sure enough, that was ours. And we were super excited because it was really cool.
So it was Tasman blue.
Yeah.
And then it also the acorn-grained leather and then woven material interior. Yeah. And so it was an S, which means – so the S trim gives you it gives you automatic high beams.
Right.
It gives you premium gauges, so you get the full digital gauges.
Right.
Standard
like
alloy
said,
wheels.
Yeah.
It gives you a couple other little things here and there. And then this one also had the heated seats. It gave you the 12-way power seats.
Which going into winter was nice.
Yeah, it gave you – I think a heated steering wheel too was another option on this one.
Anyway, so we were super excited, and I'm thinking to myself, this was 2 weeks ago. Hey, we'll have it you know, when we come back from our trip to Charlotte where we were reviewing the new Durango Hellcat. And then I get a call from JLR, and when I had initially started this series, I had requested a winch. Because we wanted the most off-road worthy one there was, and they were back-ordered. And winches for these factory winches are expensive. It's a $6,000 option, which is pretty pretty mind-boggling, but that's how much it costs. And they were like, hey, we got you that winch you wanted. And I was like, terrific. We got a new car and we got a winch. And they're like, but we have to have the dealership put it on. So, you know, hold up a few days and we'll have the dealer put it on and then you can go pick it up. I was like, great. Look at that. It's a win-win. We finally get to make the video series. You know, we had been telling the story. Now we're going to get to make a – actually, my plan, Tommy, for that next video when we went to pick it up, I had this whole plan in my head. I was like, we were going to be driving in the vehicle filming, right? And we were going to be talking about we got our Defender back, and then you were going to say, hey, this one has a white interior. Didn't our old one have? And then, you know, we go outside and surprise our viewers with the fact that we got a new one. Well, best laid plans of mice and men often go astray.
We were told that the first winch was defective and wasn't working.
Yeah, so you know, this is like Monday now. By Friday, no car. I get a phone call, and they're like, hey, the winch that we put in isn't working. We've ordered you another one. It has to come down from Canada, so it's going to take a couple days. We found one. I think it was in Toronto. I'm like, okay, all right, now it's taking longer than I thought. Now we're like into week five of not having a vehicle.
Yeah.
I'm like, great, but, you know, you feel grateful and you feel appreciative that they actually are going to all this trouble to find you a winch, right? And so I'm like, great, put it on. So wait, another week goes by, and then I get the call that was quite shocking. And what happened, Tommy?
Well, they said that they cut through during the install of the winch.
The second winch,
yes. They cut through a wiring harness or a wiring loom, and that the vehicle was undeliverable.
And the loom was unreplaceable.
It was unreplaceable. So,
yes, that's once again, this is what, you know, we were told.
So this is a very interesting thing. Now, I have done a winch install on a Wrangler before.
Yeah.
And if you do it on like a Wrangler, it's very simple because the bumper sticks out 3 feet beyond the front of the vehicle. Plop one in there, wire it to the battery, bam, you're good. The Defender winch requires you to take up the whole front end of the vehicle.
Yeah, because it incorporates into the nose, right? So you have to take the whole front end off.
Now, they did not elaborate further on what the wiring harness they cut through did or was. And there's been a lot of discussion in the comment section on what that means. And there's even been some discussion on, you know, was it a wiring harness issue or was it another problem that wasn't disclosed to us? What's your thought on that?
I don't know. Wasn't one of the off-roader guys in Australia just posted a video regarding our...
So, yeah, there's a bunch of... So there's a couple interesting things going on. There's a YouTube channel called Powerful UK LTD.
Yeah.
And they just did a winch install on their new Defender. And they did this big, long series. And I haven't seen all of it. But from what I've been reading in the comments, it doesn't seem like there's a whole ton to really cut through back there. It seems like it's a pretty cut-and-dry install. But, you know, these are complicated vehicles. There's a lot to them. And there's a lot of modules that have to talk to each other.
With the Wrangler, right, the way that the Jeep winch works is you basically wire to the battery, right? And then you have a remote control that controls the
winch. As far as I know, that's pretty much how every winch works. So,
right.
Like,
but maybe there's a hard control in the Defender.
Which is a little weird to me. But
we don't know.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. So when you like wire up lights to an off-road vehicle, you got to have a way to turn them on.
Right.
You got to
go
boop, and you got to go boop. And that's typically through you cut a hole in the dashboard, you pull it in a toggle. But a winch is typically just... a device that connects to the positive and the negative terminals on the battery. You plug in either a remote receiver, if you have a wireless winch, or a wired controller.
I'll leave it up to you guys to speculate.
Right.
We don't know. I'm going to take JLR at their word. They've been excellent.
They've been very good.
Basically, that meant that Defender was now not deliverable. And so now we were working with them to get our third Defender, and they've sent me pictures and options for two of them, a white four-cylinder and a blue six-cylinder. And I'm going to spill the beans right here. For the first time, I've decided to go with the six-cylinder, Tommy.
Why is that? Why is that, Dad?
Well, it goes back to the start of this conversation, you know. I'm not sure that a two-cylinder turbo has enough oomph. A two-liter four-cylinder turbo has enough oomph, especially at 2 miles above sea level, to move a car as hefty as, I want to say it weighs, 6,500 pounds?
I don't know. It's very heavy.
It qualifies for the tax. Yeah,
The GVW is over 6,000 pounds.
But so it's 5,500.
Toes, I think, over 8, depending on the configuration.
I just think it maybe at sea level it's fine, but when you mix it with lack of oxygen, which at 2 miles above sea level you're 30% down on the amount of air density, it really probably strains that little turbo. So I wanted something with a little bit more heft and a little bit more punch.
I actually did know that you were leaning toward the 6, and we had a big, long argument about it, because I really want to stick with the original video plan and go with the 4. I think the 6 is a lot more expensive than the 4. I mean, we're going to have to dig deep into our pockets for that one.
Yeah, I emailed them, and I said, we'll pay the difference, but maybe they'll come back to us and they'll say, you don't have to pay the difference. I don't know.
I think that
would be a nice gesture after, everything that we went through, but I don't want to, part of me would appreciate that, and I would expect that if I were a typical consumer to do, but part of me also is we've put up with a lot of pain in this process that I think most consumers would probably not put up with, right? And let's face it, they could have given us a loaner car. We turn that down, right? Because we don't need a loaner car. I mean, I've got a garage full of vehicles. So I think if you were a regular consumer, we are now going on week 7 after having paid, a substantial amount of money with no vehicle in our garage. But we could have had a loaner. But that's not what this is about. We look at these cars as kind of movie stars in a movie. At the end of the day, we want to just do the video series and show you guys that this thing is actually either good or bad off-road, go to hell and back, and test the vehicle and start making videos. That's our business.
I'm still pushing for the 4 because I've seen the pictures of the 6. I think it's at a dealer on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's coming from, I think, Oregon or someplace.
Or Washington or something, yeah. And, it's a cool rig, but it's...
And the other problem is the 4-cylinder is white. So they give us 2 options, and I don't want the white one.
I thought it was blue. I think they were both blue. Yeah, I think they were both Tasman blue. But, the four-cylinder, I think one of the issues is it's still in transit. It hasn't showed up at a dealer. So that would, I think, be a longer wait what it was sounding like. The 6-cylinder is actually at a dealer, and then they could ship it to us. But the 6-cylinder, it has 20-inch wheels.
And we'll be able to steal. It'll be very different from what we started out to do.
I think the other one has the cool steel wheels. I mean, I'm really still pushing for the more affordable one.
Well, nothing preventing you from going to JLR and buying that first one that we asking them to fix it.
I'm not going to buy one. I can't afford a $55,000 rig.
I'm sure that's still out there somewhere, that guy.
But so I don't think either of them have. I think the good news about the 6 is I think it does have the advanced off-road capability group, but it doesn't have the rear diff lock. And even though it has a 20-inch wheel, it's got the off-road tires. It's just a really weird configuration, Dad.
I think it also has the third row seats.
They both do, if I remember right. They both have the third row
seat, which we don't need, actually. They're kind of not,
I understand why you are leaning toward the 6-cylinder. I get that. I also think the majority of them I've seen are the 6-cylinder.
Yeah.
I like having a little the one that's a little bit different, but it's your call at the end of the day.
Yeah, my call is let's get this video series going. I feel this video series I'm sure has not helped JLR sell more defenders. And our business is not to, you know, help sell or not help sell defenders. Our business is to create interesting, engaging videos that then let you decide, right? And so from our point of view, it is doing that. It's creating an interesting video series. But as someone who has, we've owned now two other Land Rovers, right? We owned a Disco 2 and an LR3. You know, the brand, of course, has a reputation for not having the most stellar reliability. But yet the ones that we've owned have been dead reliable, given that they were, you know...
Well, except for the Defender, but...
Well, except for the Defender. but the Disco 2, which is notoriously bad, was good.
Yep.
And the LR3 was absolutely bulletproof. Mm-hmm. And I love the brand. I love the vehicle. For the 1.5 day I spent in the Defender, I absolutely fell in love with it. I think, you know, the design is really cool. It's kind of got, it's different, right? Most big crossovers or SUVs like that, right, are fat and wide and tall. This one is narrow and long, which is, I think, really cool. I think, you know, the designers did a really good job in kind of capturing the original character of the original Defender. Like, those rear taillights are really cool. The materials in the thing are super cool, right? It's got this kind of like almost neoprene-like material in place. It's got like exposed screws and rivet heads to show you that it's meant to be rugged.
It's got
a huge shelf in the front. It's just a really cool vehicle.
I like
those Alpine lights are cool, you know, those little Alpine windows.
I like the interior.
Yeah.
Interior is great. It's not a Defender. It's a Discovery. I mean, it's massive. The thing you said about being long and narrow, it's so wide, and it's so tall.
It's not that wide. It's long.
It's super wide.
It's not that wide, actually.
Really, it feels like when you're behind the wheel of it.
It's long. It's tall, but it's not wide.
It's pretty wide, Dad. I don't know the exact width.
Look it up. Compare it to an LX.
Okay.
Right, like a Lexus LX.
It's
a Land Cruiser.
It feels bigger than the LR3. I mean, it's just it's huge.
Or compare it to a Land Cruiser. And by the way, you know, we've taken pretty much every off-road vehicle you can take off-road in the last 10 years. So you name it, we've taken it, and not on a dirt road, but we've actually like rock crawled with it. We've taken it into the sand. We've done some really cool stuff, and by far. The most, and this includes trucks, Tommy, even off-road trucks. And we've had lifted Jeeps. We've had lifted trucks. We've done, you know, pretty much everything you can do that's possibly to do
it. I got it here.
All right, hold on. Let me make this point, right? And by far, the best ride off-road was the LR3.
Uh-huh.
By far.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
by far.
It was amazing.
By far. Incredible. Because it's got air suspension, and that air suspension is just like floating on, well, air. And, you know, it's fun to go off-road for an hour, but when you're, like, doing, let's say, the White Room Trail, which we did with the LR3, which is 120 miles off-road, it gets really old when your head is, like, flopping back and forth for, you know, 8 hours at a time. And so to have a car or a truck that just smooths out that ride is incredible. And the LR3 was by far the best vehicle we've ever had. And I'm including the Raptor in that. I'm including the TRX. I'm including, you know, our lifted F-250 with the Carly $10,000 off-road suspension, which is, you know, exceptional with King shocks. All that, the LR3 was still by far the smoothest.
So let's play a game. Is the Defender wider or narrower than an LR3?
I'm going to say narrower.
Much wider.
Yeah?
It's 4 inches wider than the LR3.
Okay.
Is it narrower or wider than a Lexus GX?
Okay, and with that smile on your face, I know it's wider.
It's 5 inches wider than the GX.
How about the Land Cruiser?
It's wider than the Land Cruiser.
Really? I thought it was narrower.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a design.
The design is good, but it's too big. It really is too big.
I don't think so. Well, then you can get the 90.
Curb weight, okay, 4,800 to 5,200 according to Google here.
Okay.
Yeah, the Defender 90 will be a little bit smaller.
Yeah, to get the smaller one.
This is what the Discovery 5 should have been.
Look, this is somebody who thinks that the ideal car, best car ever made, is the original Mini. So keep that in mind, okay? All right.
My point is,
the original Mini, not the current one, the original one.
The size is a detriment when you get it off road.
Sure, coming from an original Mini.
First of all, my original Mini won't go over a speed bump, but it's a detriment, and the weight's a detriment off road.
Right, compare it to the F-250.
Well, the F-250 is ridiculous.
Oh, compare it to a Raptor.
I hate off-roading Raptors. I hate off-roading Raptors. They don't fit through anything.
I want to see what a Raptor is. How wide? How much less is it than a Raptor in terms of width? Come on. You can play that game now. Is it wider or narrower than a Raptor?
First of all, if it's wider than the Raptor, it's probably going to be illegal to drive on the road. Right.
So let's see how much narrower it is than a Raptor. I'm curious.
This is not helpful here. Google is failing me here.
Yeah, the width, Raptor width.
It's giving me like a bunch of different numbers.
Okay.
Overall width. It's narrower than the Raptor.
Okay, by how much? I'm going to say at least 6 inches.
Yeah, about 6 inches it looks like.
Yeah.
But that the Raptor doesn't fit through anything. You can't park that in a garage. You can't park that on the street. You can't park that.
Actually,
you can't drive it through a car wash.
I actually don't have a problem with the vehicle size.
I hate driving big vehicles off-road. They just don't fit. And maybe if you live in like...
Once again, this is coming from whose first Jeep was a YJ.
It was the perfect size. The YJ was the perfect size. But the point is, if you live in Australia and you have wide open spaces, well, it can be as wide as a freight train. But we don't. We have trees. And watching... So we just took the TRX and the Raptor and the Gladiator off-road.
Yeah.
And I was in the Jeep because...
Well, you're a Jeep guy.
Well, I didn't want to deal with it. And watching you two squeeze through those trees was ridiculous. They did too much. They did it, but you were like, oh, I got to watch my $80,000 side here. The little Gladiator just goes whoop, whoop, whoop. And the Gladiator's even too big.
The Gladiator's huge, too.
That thing is huge, too. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about the Defender, but...
Anyway, my point is I really love the car. I think it's way cool. I think they did a bang-up job in terms of actually making it... look, for a long time, like G-Wagons were designed and are designed to be extremely off-road capable, but nobody takes them off-road because, well, they all take them down Hollywood Boulevard. And I think Land Rover did a great job in fighting against that, right? So the packages you could get for it, the features, right? In a Range Rover with 22s, taking it off-road just seems absolutely silly. I know you can and it will do it, but it's just not – it's like wearing workout clothes to the right? You can do it, but who'd want to do that? Whereas with this, it actually feels like it belongs off-road, and I think that – is a testament to, the design and then all the ability they gave it. And that's why we wanted to test it.
But why does it feel like? I mean, it really, the suspension's pretty similar to the Discovery. I'm just having a hard time understanding why this is better off-road than like
a Discovery. Because you can get a snorkel on it.
First of all, you can get 22s on a Defender. If you can get 22s on a vehicle...
Yeah, but you can't get Steelies on a Discovery.
That's true. That's a good point. But if you get 22s on a vehicle, that's a good hint that it's... It's tailored
Look, the,
perhaps
the,
more
the,
for
the
on-road.
Terrain management is pretty much the same between a Discovery, a Range Rover, an Evoque, a Velar, right? It all has the same software, but the hardware is different in a Defender, right?
But
and that's what makes it.
Suspension apparently is pretty similar to a Discovery.
Right, it's the hardware.
But that is hardware.
But there's more hardware. Like, there's like the Steelies, you know.
But name what else. So like the Discovery, you can get with a low range, you can get it with a rear differential lock, and they all have air suspension, or you can get it with air suspension head adjustable.
But
Defender has.
There's no winch option, I don't think. So you can get a winch.
I don't know about that.
I don't think there's a winch option.
Steve Burt's Land Rover Denver has that.
Right, but that was a special one. That was a special one made for the whatever that thing
is. But it's a $6,000 winch. Look, I really dislike the Discovery 5. I like the Defender more than the
Discovery 5. But I'm saying you can get the winch, you can get the Steelies, you can get the snorkel, you can get the roof rack. It all, if it's not backordered, let's be real, you supposedly can get them, whether you can actually get them or not. But, even the recovery hooks, right, in the X, you can get those.
I think Discovery still has recovery hooks. It still has that central one in the front there.
I don't think it has a two in the back like the Defender X has.
The Defender needed to be was a totally different product line than what Land Rover currently makes. Because that's what the old one was. And you made that point at the beginning here. You know, if you look at the late 90s or
no
even
one's a tractor. The old one's a tractor.
The Wrangler isn't a tractor. You just make it solid
axles.
But
the Wrangler has a lot of compromises.
But that's
right?
Fine.
Fuel economy with that windshield that's straight up, it's like driving
My argument would be that if you don't want the compromises, go get a Discovery or Discovery Sports. The Defender is the heart of the brand. This proves that we're still capable. This proves that we're still out there building vehicles built for the Outback. And I think it should have had coil springs, solid axles, and it should have been like $45,000, maybe even a convertible top because that's what the old one was really known for.
Yeah, I would love to see that Defender. I'm not sure anybody would buy it, but I would love to see it. I think a few hardcore off-roaders would buy it.
Depends on the price.
But I think right now that market is owned by Jeep, and soon Bronco is going to come and try to knock Jeep off. So then you'd have like basically three brands all going for that. And I'm not sure that there's, you know, look, at the end of the day, people buy the vehicle because of what they want to use it for, but they keep it because for what they use it for. You see what I'm saying? So you buy this thing because, well, you think, hey, I need to go off-road, and it's going to be cool. I'm going to take that overlanding trip across the southwest of America. But the reason you keep it is because it works, you know, when you take your kids to school or when you take your mom to church or when you, you know, drive it to work in a snowstorm. That's why you keep it.
But a ton of people keep Wranglers for a long time.
A ton of people keep Wranglers not just because of that, but because they're ultimately personalizable.
That could be the Defender.
That aftermarket doesn't exist. So a Wrangler, look, you can make a Wrangler into anything you want, right? It's inexpensive. And so
a
Defender will never be inexpensive even in the aftermarket, right? The only thing that's inexpensive on the Defender are those rods that you lift
the lift rods.
The lift rods. Those are the only thing. Everything else is British expensive. And the Wrangler is like a Harley, right? You can slap about 5,000 different bumpers on it, and it's built in such a way that it's easy to do, right? To put a new – I mean, how many bumpers have we put on Wranglers now?
I don't – way too many.
Yeah, it's easy. Like four bolts, right? You pull it off, put the new one back on. It took the dealership 2 weeks to put on 2 inches on a Defender, and it left the vehicle undrivable.
I mean, Dad, you are proving my point.
I'm just saying it's not going to be something you can customize.
But if they had made it basic, if they had made it so that you could customize it, people would. First of all, there's a lot of people out there. I shouldn't say a lot of people. There's a good number of people that are looking for an unusual off-roader. So obviously Wrangler's totally saturated. Bronco, they're going to sell a ton of them. But there are those people that want to be a little different, that maybe want a little bit more luxury but still want the off-road
you know what they're going to buy? A Rivian or a Cybertruck.
They're not going to buy a Cybertruck, no. What they would have bought, though, is a solid axle Defender. It's kind of off the wall, a little bit quirky, but it's a solid brand that people know and people want to know about. I think it would have done really, really well. I think by basically making another discovery, they've hurt themselves. And this is the one brand that they have that really is such a strong name in the off-road world.
I mean, the way you hurt yourself is by having a vehicle that doesn't work, right? So maybe I guess if I had – and I'm not one to give advice, but if I had any advice for Land Rover after this experience, I'd be like, you know, you need to go back to basics and you need to figure out – you know, why a brand new vehicle is throwing a check engine light and you know, why that can't be repaired. That just seems like a very basic thing. And, you know, this is why FJs right now are so valuable.
FJ Cruisers?
Yeah, and 4Runners and Tacomas, right? Because
right.
I think people...
Yeah, they work.
Because people... There's been like a shift in the zeitgeist that's happened recently. And I don't know if it's because of... 2020 or because of, you know, the fact that cars are hard to get now and trucks are hard to get, but people really are looking for vehicles that are reliable. In the past, you know, I think people would be like, I'm going to lease this thing for a couple of years, and if it's reliable or not, I don't care because it's under warranty, and then I'll trade it up for a different one. But now reliability has become, I think, crucial, and even more crucial in the car buying process. And so I would say you need to focus on reliability if you want to be successful. So maybe spend less time worrying about, you know, the $30,000 Defender and more time making sure that, you know, you've crossed your T's and dotted your I's when it comes to reliability.
Por qué no los dos? Why not do both?
Because
make the $35,000 Fender and make it reliable.
Because you only have...
Why not?
Because
the
brand's image is tied up right now in its you know, reliability. And I think that's something that if I were running the company, I would definitely concentrate on.
I agree. It's paramount. Yeah, it is paramount.
And look, it's a new factory. It's a new vehicle. It's going to have issues. It just is, right? You build a new factory, you build a new vehicle, and you combine those two in a new country, right? So it's no longer being built in the UK. And you combine those three things, and you end up with obviously some teething issues. And I think we're experiencing that.
All right. Well, let us know what you think in the comment section below
on
the new Defender, our issues with our defender. And be sure to stay tuned because we'll have the full transparent results of what comes out of this coming soon.
Yeah, I can't – like I say, I love the brand. I'm a big fan. And as a journalist, I know I shouldn't say that. But there's just something magic about Land Rovers that's very different from the magic that's in a Jeep, that's very different from the magic that's in – you know, at Toyota, I really want to do that video series, or I just want to get the thing and actually start, like, you know, right now we're getting to the time of the year where we're going to be closed down by snow, both here and in Moab, right? In Moab, it also snows, and then the trails get closed, or if they're not closed, you really don't want to do Hell's Revenge when you're, you know, on a 30-degree slope that's covered in ice.
Not great.
Yeah. You know, Slick Rock, here's the irony, right? Slick Rock is very sticky. Unless it's icy or wet.
Right, and then it's very,
very slick. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let us close this up, Dad. I think we've had kind of a good discussion today. This was a good one.
Yeah, and then I would say, guys, if you're listening to this and you're looking for a place to sell your truck, we've got a new website called TFL Bids. It's an auction site. We're selling our F-250 on it. It's up for sale right now. By the time that this airs as a video, it might have been sold already. But if you're listening to this, you can certainly go over to TFLBids.com and check it out. There's like four vehicles for sale.
There's also a really cool Ram Charger.
Yeah, there's a Ram Charger.
That's getting me super excited.
And a Defender now for sale.
There is, a 110, but with a six-cylinder.
Yeah, with a six-cylinder for sale. So check out TFL Bids, or better yet, if you guys have a truck, because the thing about TFL Bids, it's basically all trucks all the time. And you may be wondering, well, why is there a Defender on it? Because it's a truck. We consider anything that's body on frame a truck. So there's also a Wrangler on the site right now. So
although Defender's unibody.
It's a truck. I'm calling it a truck. So, yeah, it's all trucks all the time. Let us know how we can make it better. And if better, and especially if you're looking to get kind of the best money available for your vehicle, check it out and list it with us, and we'll do our darndest to help you as part of our TFL truck community and TFL car community get it sold. All right, I think that's it. See you guys next time. Ciao.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.